It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Oh my days. I'm very excited.
Yar.
Yes.
Tell me all about it.
I just found out today.
Okay.
Friday is the premiere on Adult Swim of season 2 of Joe Parrot Talks to You!
What?
Yes!
Friday?
Yep.
Wow.
He was on Stephen. I clicked the link today because he was on Stephen Colbert.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, because wow. His new season is coming out.
Yeah, but
so I'm very excited about that.
That's big time. Yeah.
Apparently Stephen Colbert's a fan, and they pretty much just sat there and talked about like nothing useful.
Is he like any different in an interview? Or just
no, that's the thing. Like his character on the show is apparently very lightly fictionalized. yeah, he's just this sweet, earnest guy, simple guy. Like I'm so excited.
But he's a comedian, though. I mean,
yes, he is.
Yeah.
But in my vast experience with comedians, some comedians mostly just figure out that people laugh at them being themselves and then do that.
That's interesting.
Because that's the thing. He's very much, I would say, an avant-garde comedian. I mean, he does stand-up. I guess I've never looked at his stand-up. But he doesn't do a lot of jokes, per se. He's just being him. And it's funny and terribly, terribly sweet. So I'm very excited about that.
That's cool.
Yes.
You're wearing your Thursday shirt again.
I am.
With the little purple flowers.
Yes. Because it's Thursday.
Yep.
I had, you know, laundry issues with all the traveling and stuff, but today I actually had the right one.
I like that shirt a lot.
It is, I would say, my most popular shirt right now in rotation, and possibly my favorite shirt in rotation.
It's very cool.
But definitely the favorite with everybody else.
Very cool.
So, hello, Susan. As far as I know, nobody named Susan listens to our podcast, but it's going to freak them out if they do.
If they do.
That's hilarious. I amuse myself. Also, everybody else, hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that's watching you, Susan, right now. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 456, 456.
That makes sense. Last one was 455, so that...
I was just thinking about this today. So this is the first Thursday after Thanksgiving, and so it's the first Thursday when I drive here that I'm listening to Christmas music on.
Yeah.
I thought, and I always like that. And also, there's far more decorations on the way, and it's dark outside.
True,
So it's like the first Thursday after Thanksgiving when we get together. It's a very festive time for me, but then... I realized that only happens. I only drive here with the Christmas music on for like two or three times.
Yep.
And this year, only twice because we're going to do a double next week.
Yes, because you've got plans.
So just two times of driving here and home with Christmas music.
Better enjoy it.
I'm going to have to savor it.
Seek Him display will stay up a little longer. They usually run into January.
I do think that a lot of the radio stations that play Christmas music through Christmas will go to New Year's, weirdly. I think some of them will.
Yeah.
Some of them will.
I
don't know.
I just avoid. Well, now that I have satellite radio, I don't even have to deal with it. But, and I think, like, grocery stores and stuff, they'll switch back. But, yeah, I think a lot of radio stations do. Because, you know, it's not all Christmas. Some of it's winter.
That's right. And have you heard of this challenge every year? Oh, you probably told me about it.
The Little Drummer Boy Challenge. Yes.
Oh, no. This is the last Christmas Wham! Last Christmas challenge.
Oh, no. It's the same principle?
Yeah.
You just can't hear. Well, screw that. I love that song. I'm not. Speaking of which, recently, after I had gotten some clues from watching tons of British shows like I do, I finally did some research, and now, instead of telling people, you know, I kind of just like British pop music from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
I can say I'm very into New Wave.
New Wave, yeah.
And New Romantic.
Oh, I never heard of that second one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
New Wave, yeah, I had heard
there,
that.
There's a lot of overlap. Okay. But, so yeah, now I can like say that. I'm like, yeah.
And that
that's
takes care
actual
of it.
Subgenres. Rather than just, you well, know, who,
who's
this
new,
country
who's
around
new
there.
Romantic?
Spandau Ballet, Culture Club was considered new romantic. Duran Duran.
Really?
Yeah, yeah,
what, why did they call him that?
I don't know. Look it up.
Okay.
You got Wikipedia, bastard. For those of you just joining us, is how the show works. We have a hat. It's magic.
He's drunk.
In that it, oh, I wish. In that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, helpful people, sexy people, just beautiful people, gorgeous people, the best.
It's crazy how amazing they are.
That, yeah. Write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions. Things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. I don't know, excited for Christmas, I guess. servants draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, and that's... do that for about an hour, and that's the whole show except the parts that aren't, which is a lot of it. So, it's 2 weeks. I legit have not recovered from that stretch of, like, recording doubles every week.
Yeah, crazy,
and
right?
And, like, I'm still like, how long is it? When is it?
Yeah.
What is happening?
I know.
So, it's been 2 weeks, because we had Thanksgiving.
That's right.
We
did a double for Thanksgiving.
So, how's that been?
Well, it's good. Oh, our Thanksgiving was the Saturday before.
And I already talked all about my big long trip.
We probably are going to have to do the same thing for Christmas, as it turns out. I don't know.
What? What? Ah, yeah, everyone's, damn it.
Everybody's busy on Christmas Day, so I don't know.
So you're doing like post-Christmas? Oh, man.
Either before or after.
That's going to be rough. All right.
But yeah, that was fine. You know, I guess we're watching on television, we're watching Curse of Oak Island. Do you have any interest in Oak Island at all?
Do I have any knowledge of Oak Island at all?
Well, you probably do. It's the island in Nova Scotia that's supposed to have a money pit that everyone tries to find the treasure, but they get flooded out.
No, I am not confident. I have no idea what
you've
fuck
never
you're
heard
talking
this?
About at all. I also don't know what a money pit is in the context you're saying. At least I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Maybe I do.
All right. Well, so, there's an island called Oak Island, just off the coast of Nova Scotia.
Named after Joe Oak.
And in the late 1700s, at 1790-something or other, this is how the legend starts.
Oh,
there are
on
three
night, just like this.
Teenagers, older teenagers, boys. They see lights across, they're on the shore, but they see lights over on Oak Island. And they go over to investigate, and whoever was there is gone. Mm-hmm. But around about where they thought the people had been, whoever was carrying the lights, there was disturbed ground. And they dug it up, and supposedly they found some small, modest treasure there.
Ooh.
And they had some reason to believe that there was more. I don't know what made them think that, but that's what they thought.
A little note at the bottom said to be continued.
So they dug the hole deeper, and at 10 feet, they report, they came to this place where there were logs, like a log platform was built at the 10-foot level. Mm-hmm. They chopped it up and kept digging, and they found the same thing at the 20-foot and the 30-foot and the 40-foot level. Clear down to 90 feet.
Okay. When was this?
In the 1795,
yeah, this
I'm
did not
say.
Happen.
Okay, well, this is what
Yeah, no.
These three people claimed and told their family.
100%. full of crap.
Well,
but go on. Sorry. Okay. Go ahead. Didn't happen, but go ahead. Absolute lie.
And I'm actually...
I think even, like, just in terms of laws of physics at that time period, it wouldn't have been possible. But go ahead.
Well, I don't know about that. But anyway...
Technologically.
Supposedly
but
they
definitely
got,
a lie.
Supposedly
go ahead.
They got down to 90 feet and there Never was happened, this... There was yeah. this... This... This stone down there
uh-huh.
with a cipher on it, symbols.
Oh.
That if you know anything about...
These are really Renaissance dudes. Could dig and chop 90 feet down and recognize
see,
a cipher.
I don't know why you think that's so weird. I mean, some wells are actually very deep that people back then had to dig to get to water. You realize that, right?
Okay.
Okay, but...
But not on the chance that there might be... Like, no, I don't buy any of this. I don't buy any of this.
Well, okay, let me say up front...
I'm not saying it would be impossible to dig a 90-foot hole. I'm saying, based on the circumstances here, these people did not do that.
Okay, let me say up front. I first heard of this on the TV program In Search Of in 1979.
All right. In that case...
And I didn't believe it then, mm-hmm. and I don't believe it now.
There we go.
I just think this is a cool story. Okay, so anyhow. Yeah. So they find this thing with symbols on it. They don't know what it says.
Cipher.
But they move it out of the way... And they break through that last wood barrier, and the whole thing floods. The whole the pit floods, and they can't do anything about it. They don't have the technology to, you know.
They just float up to the top.
So they
and
so
step
they have
off.
They have to give up on it. But at least one of the guys builds a house on the island, and he farms there while he continues to look for treasure for the rest of his life. Many other people have gone to Oak Island looking for this treasure. And torn the whole place up, actually, in some cases, and they always get where they think they get close, and then the whole thing gets flooded out, and they run out of money, and they can't keep going. Hmm. About 10 years ago now, maybe it's been 12 years ago, the show is in its seventh season, but like 2 or 3 years before the show started, these two brothers...
Wait, the show called The Curse of Oak Island has had seven seasons?
It's in its seventh season now.
A show just about people looking on a specific island for buried treasure.
Yeah.
Has how many episodes is that?
Well, that's a good question. The first season, I do believe, only has like 5 episodes in it. And then I think they went up to like 10 or 13 for the second season. And I haven't watched the first or second season. The third season is their first full season, which I believe has 22 episodes in it. I think all of them have
Wait,
that many.
Is this a documentary or fictional
reality
narrative?
Reality show.
Wow. All right.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I'm having a hard time believing the TV show exists, let alone the legend.
That's what I thought.
Sounds insane.
Because here's the thing. To me, Oak Island is the same as the Loch Ness Monster, is the same as... I like the stories about the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot and all this stuff. And I like the stories about Oak Island, but I don't think there's anything there. In fact... The fact that so many people have gone there and torn the whole place up and never found anything, that pretty much seals the deal.
But also, the day-to-day saga of somebody doing that is not an interesting story.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about it.
Are they real-world contestants? Like,
no, they're
have
not
to
contestants.
Apply
they're,
and...
they're people.
These, then I really don't.
These two guys, Rick and Marty Lagina, bought up a whole bunch of stuff. And there was these two old timers, very famous Oak Island people, Fred Nolan and Dan Blankenship. Anyone who knows anything about Oak Island knows these guys because they are the most recent guys to have, you know, worked there, lived there, tried to find the treasure, and they didn't do it. In fact, in the run of the show, first Fred dies eventually, and in this season, the very first episode talks about how over the spring, Dan Blankenship died. So, but these two guys, Marty and Rick Lagina, both know these guys and admire them, and they've come to the island to try to find the treasure and to honor their work, these two guys.
Okay. Now it's taking a sad turn.
And so they own some land, and now the Blankenships and the Nolans are cooperating with them, so I think all the lots are accounted for, and they can look anywhere they want.
Okay.
You know, that was an issue for them being able to look wherever they wanted because people own different parcels and they have to get permits. Oak Island is now protected after people tore it up so much. So there's certain things they can't do. They have to have an archaeologist with them to do certain things. And this is what makes it interesting is they are being very methodical in how they're approaching the island and doing archaeological research. Maybe not as methodical as I would hope they would be or guess they would be. I mean, when it, see, this is a History Channel show.
Mm.
And I,
so you, Nazis and aliens are involved?
Well, it's hyped. Everything's hyped up.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, you do that with a reality show.
And it's probably, and some of it is probably not, has anything, doesn't have anything to do with what really happened.
And I'm believing it more and more because I've just realized, like, there's a whole bunch of seasons of a show mining for gold in Alaska. There's a whole bunch of seasons of a show just watching the lives of illegal moonshiners. Like, this fits.
So they can stretch it out.
Yeah.
But, they, again, they also have to, they're also being very methodical
Marty has
about
to
it.
Be quick or else he may flood in this tunnel that totally might have some treasure.
Right, exactly. That kind of thing.
Stay tuned.
But what I find...
Also, Hitler was interested.
So I wasn't really interested in... I'm interested in Oak Island Stories, but I thought there's no way this show can be very good.
Absolutely.
And I was really surprised there was that many seasons.
Yeah.
My wife is more interested in that treasure hunting stuff, so we watched it.
Does she believe?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think...
Find out your next vacation is to Oak Island.
She
You'll
doesn't,
find out.
She doesn't not believe. Let's put it that way. Right. I don't think she's on the fence probably. But anyway, so I'm watching this and there's a lot of interesting archaeological stuff that they go over. And this is why sometimes I'll watch Ancient Aliens because sometimes they'll cover.
Oh, man.
No, sometimes they'll talk about interesting, actual interesting archaeological things. Now, then you have to sit there and hear this idiot talk about how this could mean aliens. No,
not
it doesn't mean
it.
Aliens.
Not worth it.
And sometimes it's not. Sometimes I'll watch an episode and I'll be like, boy, that was a waste
you
of time.
You need to, if this is true, what
times,
you need to do is you need to
things.
Edit. You need to put out, like on YouTube, edit of the actual non-alien shit from Ancient Aliens.
I'll bet a lot of people would watch that.
Absolutely. I might watch that.
But.
Because I'm interested in actual history and not
Well, the thing is,
and
some of the things they talk about in Ancient Aliens are like, I've never seen it reported anywhere else. But anyway, so they do some actual archaeological stuff that's interesting because Oak Island, apparently the conventional wisdom, and I'm not sure this is true or if this is just something the show says.
Be real careful having used that phrase here.
What?
Conventional wisdom.
Okay, well, the common belief about Oak Island is...
Amongst the crackpots.
Yes, exactly. All right. Is that... There wasn't a lot of activity on the island before a certain time. Even the native people didn't pay it much attention because you couldn't really grow anything there. And there just wasn't any reason to live there or to go there or anything else.
But then three teenagers told the story.
Yeah, exactly. But they're finding things there that show that there was tons of activity for a particular period of time that nobody seems to have accounted for. And I am interested to know what that's about. I don't think it has anything to do with treasure, but I think it still might be interesting. Because, you know, that
it's
period...
ancient Samaria.
Well...
It's actually Oak Island.
But then another thing about it is, and this is the stuff they talk about that I think is fake, but I still think it's fun, is when they start talking about it being like a Templar treasure and stuff. I just love it. Like, I just think that's hilarious.
Should we be going out more? Like, we should get you out in the world.
It's just interesting.
Meet some nice. I haven't seen your wife in a while.
Wife
is
really
she really
it.
Still there?
No, she,
like, I don't.
She really likes it. So we've been watching this, and it's been kind of fun. And the people in it are interesting and fun to get to know.
Gullible.
No. They're just, first of all, they get along so well, and they're very nice people. And, you know, some of them are fun in the way they say things and express themselves about, and when they get excited about finding some little coin that they've, you know, that's a 1850s Spanish coin they find somewhere. It's like, that's pretty cool. I mean, again, I don't think it means that this is a treasure island or anything,
but
it's fun to see them get excited about it. And it's fun to hear them talk about all these things. You know, I just think it's interesting. So that's one thing we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. It's been kind of fun.
I'd like to apologize to all of our listeners who are big believers in the Oak Island treasure. It just occurred to me that this is where I'm going to find out that all our listeners are like avid Oak Island fans, and I just shit all over.
That's okay if they believe. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't, but
no,
I enjoy
it
anyway.
No. It's not you. You're treating this with proper respect and interest. It's me who's saying, this is dumb. These people are dumb. What the fuck is wrong with all of you?
I kind of wonder if you would like this show, though.
I probably would for, like, 2-3 episodes. More if you gave me booze. Because this is why
I
came
think
up.
There was things that would fascinate
I
you
recently
about it.
Watched multiple episodes of that moonshining show.
That kind of does sound interesting, though, is it not?
It was. Like, I watched like 3 episodes because I had nothing else going on and the TV was just sort of on. This was in a hotel when we were on our trip.
Yeah.
And it was. And now I'm like, but clearly I never have to watch a single minute of that show ever again. Like, it's fun for a little bit, but I don't feel like it's going to change. Like, next season will be different.
Well, I mean, this show, they're making progress. Like, there are places.
I don't know what that means in this context.
I mean, okay.
Like, they are not.
No, they are. Listen, I'll give you an example. Last season, and this is the 6th season, mind you, okay?
God damn it.
The 6th season, this was the first season they were able.
I blamed too much on Cheesecake Factory. This is what is ruining this
They
country.
Were able to excavate, like legitimately excavate,
mm-hmm.
a portion of the island that they were never able to excavate before. And they found stuff there that was super interesting. And that took, you know, that's something that takes a long time. Mm-hmm. So that, just that alone filled up a lot of the season. And every season has something like that where, okay, well, we're going to try to get this accomplished because they only have the summer, basically, part of the fall. And it takes a long time for these things to happen. So, like, this thing that in season 6 that they excavated, it's a cove. So they had to build a wall and then pump the water out. And then they had to dig very carefully if they found something. So, it you know, a lot of times, I think part of the reason why I get enjoyment from it is I always go into every episode thinking they're not going to find anything. And sometimes they don't, by the way.
There we go. Sometimes aren't those fun?
Well, at least it's honest, you know. They don't just show you the times they find something. But then they do find something. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. What did they find? And what does it mean? And again, not in a treasure
more
context.
More for you to do. I just...
Does archaeology not interest you?
It does.
Yeah.
Not amateur archaeology while looking for a fake buried treasure.
It's not all amateur.
On reality TV.
Some of it's, I mean, they test stuff. They take things to labs and they have experts come in and look at it. You know, sometimes they talk to experts that are clearly bonkers. Sometimes, but not all the time. Some of them are very, they know what they're talking about and it's really interesting. And it always fascinates me.
Archaeology interests me, but it is very tedious. When you're doing it right, it's very tedious.
That is true. It is, yeah.
And haphazard archaeology doesn't interest me. To me, that becomes the equivalent of people who give, like, political commentary for a living. I'm like, yeah, we dug some shit. Sometimes we find some shit. Sometimes we act like we know shit about the shit we found. Sometimes it's true. Sometimes not.
It's not quite that bad. I mean, these two guys, I like these two guys. I think they're pretty smart. And I think they want to do the right thing, and they have professionals there trying to help them, and it's kind of fun. And you get to know these people, and then it starts to be a thing, like you just want to see what they're doing, basically. And it becomes fun just to know what they're up to and whether or not they're getting close to their goal or not. Like Rick, for example, he's a total Boy Scout, and he's so earnest and passionate about this. You know, you just kind of root for the guy, even though you know if they ever find – first of all, that's another thing. They've taken several seasons just to figure out where the money pit even is, because one group came in and tore the place up and they lost where the money pit even was. So they haven't even found it.
Like,
they don't even know exactly where it is.
No. Like, they haven't found it because it's not there.
No, there was something there that was considered the money pit before these people tore the place up. So, however fake the money pit might be, there was at least a fake place where it was,
okay.
Where you could go.
They've lost the fake place.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, dear.
Exactly.
And it's taken them seasons, and they still haven't found the fake
place.
Well,
but...
They may never find the fake... I wonder if they could pretend to find the fake place.
No, see, that's just it. That's another thing that makes it interesting to watch is they could fail at this. I mean, there's only a small place for them to look. It is possible for them to have looked everywhere. And to be able to conclude from that, it's just not there. They could do that.
They will earn a tremendous respect for me if the show ends on that note.
Well, we'll see. But they've made some interesting discoveries. Like, the island has a swamp area in it. And people have noticed that it looks like it was actually two islands, and then some fake, you know,
treasure
borders were made, and then it filled in as a swamp, and it was, and that this is man-made or whatever.
This is the original location of the Hatfields and the McCoys.
I don't know. But they've recently discovered some evidence to suggest that, yeah, that's true. This is a whole artificial thing between these two islands. Well, who built that? The native people claim not to know how.
If this was a show about people coming in and doing an archaeological survey of the whole island.
It is basically that, though.
Except they're looking for a fake treasure.
Well, I don't care about that part.
But that's the premise of the show.
I know, but remember, I watch Ancient Aliens sometimes so I can see cool things.
All right. I'll give you that.
I put up with a lot to see cool things, is what I'm saying.
I've had to learn about that. I have a friend who we get into a lot of disagreements about media and what was consumed. And it drives me crazy because this friend can't produce a decent argument. But is still fairly entrenched in their views. And I used to find this very frustrating because this person is not dumb. But I am slowly figuring out that this person is very good at fixating on a thing that they like or don't like about a piece of media. And that just does it. And that's fine for them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, there'll be a movie that I'm like, this was just absolutely terrible. But they're like, but it had this actress I really like in this role, even though this was a dumb role. I like seeing her and stuff, so I enjoy this movie. Like, and they will concede, like, yep, this is terrible, this is terrible, but I still like it because of that.
Yeah, I have a lot of things like that.
I joked with them. I'm like, you really enjoyed that movie all about the Nazis and the Holocaust? Even though it was, like, complete bullshit and didn't say anything useful and glorified the Nazis. Well, yeah, Diana Rigg was the narrator on it, so... Oh, okay.
I don't know if I'd go quite that
far. I think, as I put it the first time, was the horrible, horrible painting, but you like it because there is one spot in the frame that's something you think is really cool. But I feel like there's some of this here.
I've got things like that.
Well, you've got a lot of things like that. You have this tendency as well.
The thing is, I wouldn't like anything if I didn't do that, because most things...
Well, and there are degrees of it.
In the world, I don't like.
And there are degrees of it. I mean, I think a lot of people are like, these are the things I liked about a thing, this is the thing I like. But to be like, I admit, this is all terrible, except this. Or a friend who, for example, really hated Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And when we talked to them about it, it turned out that one very short scene, which admittedly was problematic, ruined the whole thing for them.
Yeah, that happens to some people. I think it probably happens to me too.
And that's why I try, as I get older, I try really hard to try and give critique of something and then separately talk about my feelings and reaction
it. I try to do the same.
So I'll be like, I really like this. And I'm not sure why, because critically, is bad. But for some reason, this just resonated with me. But I will freely admit, I'm like, this is terrible, but I like it for weird personal reasons,
or vice versa. I would never recommend this to anybody, yes. But this is what I got.
Or it's clearly a very good thing I didn't.
Right.
It didn't do it for
sure,
me.
Sure. I also wanted you to know I got a Kindle now.
Ooh, why?
Well,
I mean, I guess you can get nonfiction books for it.
Yes, but also I realized I was talking to my wife about the about reading and what I was reading and so on.
Yeah.
And I realized just how many things I read, like, sitting at the computer.
Yeah.
And then I realized, well, why don't, if...
A lot of them you can read on your Kindle.
I could get on a Kindle, but not just that. There are some books I'm interested in, but I don't really want to have it.
Yep.
I mean, some I do. Like, I want a copy of, an actual copy of Frankenstein. I want an actual copy of Dracula and things like that. But there's some, it's like, I don't really care if I have the actual book, but I do want to read it. And that's when I usually read it online, if it's an old book.
And there are powers that you can use to check out Kindle books from the library.
Exactly. So I just realized I would probably use it. And so That'd be cool. She got me one. And
I mean, I'm full on converted. I get annoyed when I have a physical book.
And I've got.
And I have literally pushed the pages trying to see what they... Because that's the thing you're going to fucking love with the Kindle.
What's that?
Highlight a word.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'll give you the definition. It'll usually take you to the Wikipedia page, something like that. Yeah. And not only do I use that when I don't know a word, but I run into a lot of words where I'll pass something, I'll be like, you know, I use that word a lot, and I basically know what it means, but I'm not sure I could give you a definition. Yeah. Let's look.
I do that too.
I do that constantly on there, to the degree that, seriously, I'll have a paper book now and I forget, and I like push the page. I'm like, oh, damn it.
Well, one of the books I have on it is that book you've been trying to get me to.
Dispossessed?
Yes, I have that on
there.
I haven't read it.
Getting closer.
But it is on there.
Getting closer.
Yep. So, and I've been, basically, I've only had it for a week or so, and I'm in the phase of sort of messing with it.
Yeah.
Just trying to see what it does.
Now, is it just a Kindle, or is it like a tablet? Like, is it in color? Can you get apps for it? Things like that? Or is it just a thing that is in black and white that you read?
I guess I don't know. I mean, it's a Paperwhite?
That's just a Kindle, an e-reader, as it were.
Okay.
Because they make Kindles now that are actually just Amazon's version of a tablet.
Oh.
No,
I didn't.
Kindle Fire and Kindle.
No, not Kindle.
A Paperwhite. Paperwhite's good. What I have is a Paperwhite with slightly more bells and whistles, but a Paperwhite is nice.
So I've read a few.
So like much easier for traveling, too.
Simple things, and it's like very easy on the eyes and all that stuff.
And you can change a ton of that. You can adjust font and stuff like that.
And I have that, but I also have a case, so it's got a cover on it and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty neat. I think I'll actually use it quite a bit.
Good.
I mean, I don't see why I wouldn't, because as I said, I read a lot of things online. I didn't even think about how often I did that, but I do it a lot. So I thought you'd be interested in how I finally got one of those little things. I didn't think I ever would have one, but it just made sense.
I was very much a real books or more, and then I was in that phase that so many people like to be. Well, I like both. I'm like, nope, I'm past that now. I mean, don't get me wrong. I won't avoid reading a book because I have to read. But, like, in general, I'm like, no, I want the Kindle version. And I've had books that I have received as gifts, as physical books. I'm like, thank you. And then I'll go buy the Kindle version so I can read it that way. It's so much easier.
Have you ever read, let me ask real quick, have you ever read any Dante at all? Inferno or?
No. Weirdly, I recently went through the entire the thing that Inferno's from.
Yeah, the whole...
The larger thing.
Right. What is it called? Because there's three things. It's hell and purgatory and heaven.
Yeah.
But it's called the Divine Comedy.
Divine Comedy. Yeah. I recently went through the wiki rabbit hole on that and read all of that stuff for some reason.
I'm reading a version of a translation that comes from... Okay. Used to be you could get this collection of Encyclopedia Britannica, and there was something called the Great Books that came with it.
Okay.
And so this is one, the Divine Comedy is in there. And this translation is, I mean, it's really easy to read, which is probably good. And there's all these notes, so if they come across some historical reference that you might not know, you just go to the notes and see.
Because that was the thing that I noticed, is it's heavily political. And in a very specific way.
Well, sure.
Every place they go, good, bad, or otherwise, we name people by name who are there.
But also a lot of like Greco-Roman and mythological characters that you might not be up on.
Yeah.
And you need to know who that is and what that means.
Yeah.
And so it's been really, it's a good translation with good notes. If I didn't have that, I would probably be looking stuff up all the time trying to figure out what the heck
and
he's
that's,
talking about.
There's a lot of these. That's why I go to Wikipedia. I'm like, there's going to be a level of detail I don't care about, but I want to be more familiar with the concept because I have seen, read, played online so many retellings of that story. And I'm like, what's the... I had the same thing with Count of Monte Cristo. I finally read the Count of Monte Cristo because it. I believe, at least as of a few years ago, it is the most remade story at all.
Oh, is that
of
right?
all time. Huh. It beats out... There's a couple that are close, but Count of Monte Cristo was the most. Because it's also one of those that, like, by the 50s, there had already been, like, 23 movies of it or something. And there's a lot. There's a whole anime series and all sorts of stuff. So I finally was like, I should read it. And I got this, like, huge 900-page copy of it.
Wow.
And I start into it. It's edited. And I'm like, shit, it's abridged. And then I find out it's abridged because the original is like three volumes of this size.
Right.
And this one, the editor took great pains to specify the sections they took out and why, and summarize them and things. And it was often, it was just a lot of stuff that was clearly page filler, because that time period, there was a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
Getting paid by the word.
And everything was in volumes.
Yeah. And so it was nothing. So that was all good. But yeah, I did finally read it, because I was like, I know the story from everywhere, but I don't know the story.
Well, I'm reading Inferno right now, and I haven't gotten very far, because I just read it like a couple cantos a night or something.
Yeah.
And it's, right now it's remarkable how unsurprising it is. It's like the Inferno especially is such a part of our popular culture.
Yep.
It's just amazing how much I've absorbed. It's like, oh yeah, this, that, oh that, that. It's like, I practically know this whole story already.
The part that gets interesting,
but I do
to
like
me is,
reading it though,
is all the weird, especially when we get into the different moral components and the weird, like there's this kind of this and there's this kind.
Oh, yeah.
And how he groups certain sins in ways that sometimes I'm like, oh, I never thought about it that way. In other ways that I'm like, what? No, that doesn't work.
Well, he's got this interesting thing about, he cares a lot about agency.
Mm.
Like, how much thought and agency did you put into this sin, right? Mm.
Yeah.
And also, is this a sin that only humans commit? Or, like, if it's a sin that even animals commit, like, quote-unquote violence.
Yeah.
That's a lesser sin. But if it's a sin,
then the ones you had to like work at,
and
think through.
It's about your humanity, and your humanity works into it, which is why the people who are the most sinful are the ones that are like liars and deceivers, because there's art in it.
Yeah,
right. There's a certain bit of art,
confidence.
I guess. Yeah. You have to use your higher faculties to do this thing, and that makes it a worse sin.
Well, and in paradise, you're getting it into the people who are really good, but imperfectly so. And so there's different heavens for people who were really good at this particular virtue and stuff. But like, which is weird to me. I'm like, it's a virtue-specific heaven. And then it's not until you get to the top. There's like, these people just had it all around worked out.
Well, but then Virgil and Aristotle and all these, you know, these celebrated Greeks live in this really beautiful, wonderful place. That is limbo, basically.
Yeah.
But it's also sort of the first level, and it's like, man, I mean,
you didn't.
I mean, that's a pretty sweet gig for not ever believing in
there
God.
There are several
anything.
That are like, yeah, that's fine. Also, the whole Beatrice theme. I mean, it's useful narratively. I find it just annoying.
Well, I don't know. So far, I've really enjoyed reading it, but I've just been really struck by how there are basically no surprises here. That is how much this is really soaked into our culture.
Yep. Well, there.
But anyway,
like, can't you enter a fiddle contest against the devil?
Anyway, what was your 2 weeks like? We spent way too much time talking about mine.
We really did for Fake Treasure.
It's a fun show.
I don't know. Thanksgiving was interesting. I'm developing a theory that I keep trying to bear out via anecdotal data. It's not working really well. My theory is that people who had Thanksgiving with extended family experienced less than typical amounts of family drama during their holiday. Because I did.
So, I couldn't follow that exactly.
There was not as much family drama at Thanksgivings this year across the nation. Is my theory.
And why would that be?
I don't know. Like I said, it's all terribly anecdotal and bullshit. I just talked to a lot of people like that, and that was my own experience. My own hypothesis that is completely untested and unable to be tested is that everybody's just so exhausted from all spectrums of religious and political axes that we're all just like, let's just have a nice meal.
Well, yes,
we're all just tired.
It could be that so many people were committed to not bringing it up.
Well, and that's,
and then it didn't come up.
Another person had that theory because the internet was loaded with articles of like how to survive this year,
mm-hmm.
And so somebody was like, maybe people just read them and actually took them to heart. But no, it was a good year. There were very few tense moments. There were moments where people said some stuff that like irked me, and I was like, just stay quiet. And because of that, within 30 seconds, the topic had sort of shifted. Yeah, and I'm like, if I had spoken up, this would have been the thing. So that was good. But really good family time. We played D&D.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. Yeah. And then we got... So the D&D group, you know, my niece and my nephew and their dad.
Right.
And then Trish's dad, their grandfather.
That's right. That's right.
And Stephanie's running it. And they're all into it or whatever. And the niece and the nephew and their dad are Assembly of God family.
Right.
Their religion. And so it's fairly conservative fundamentalist stuff.
Yep.
And so there was a little concern originally D&D because, you know, that has a history and it was a little weird. And especially their mother doesn't really play games in general. So, I mean, she was okay with it, but we were always just a little like, be careful or whatever and get involved. Well, apparently she is bought in now because she and her son make a D&D scrapbook.
What?
Yeah. They're at the table. Oh, wow. So the nephew has made Lego characters that can be our minifigs for our different characters.
That's fun.
And he loves that. And he put them all together on the table, and he was taking a picture. And his mom says, now make sure to do it so there's like a half inch on either side because the scrapbook border is going to do it. And I'm like, you have a scrapbook for his Lego figures? Like, no, we have a D&D scrapbook. And then sure enough, when we were playing, she was taking pictures and stuff.
Wow.
So I'm like, guess she's in now.
Now, what's so weird about this is, you know, when I was growing up, I'm sorry, did you say Assemblies of God?
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew Assemblies of God people. And there was no way anyone would have been caught dead playing Dungeons
yeah,
and Dragons
yeah, yeah.
back then. I mean, this was the 80s, right?
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of that stuff has been debunked. And it helps that a lot of the people in the family do other, like, fantasy stuff. So, I mean,
okay.
They understand the distinction.
Right.
Like, you know, they read some Harry Potter and stuff
like
that.
But they probably aren't going to want demons or...
Well, that's the thing.
And
I was worried about that. But no, they're not playing that. Like,
yeah.
The dad's playing a paladin and stuff like that.
Right,
but,
right.
Like, grandpa's playing a warlock.
Really?
And I'm a cleric of a different faith, and we've had that stuff to deal with. But at the same time, on Dropout TV... But I don't even... I'm going to say, I watch it on Dropout TV, which is the college... humor streaming service. This is available on YouTube in its entirety.
Okay.
On a channel called Dimension 20.
Okay.
But it's a subset of the College Humor people, so it's also on Dropout.
Okay.
And Dimension 20 is basically televised these D&D campaigns that
okay.
the College Humor people did. Because one of their guys is like a hardcore D&D DM kind of guy, and he's been doing this since he was a little kid.
Sure.
And so he runs the other ones through it. And I fucking love them. And I'm so mad at them because I'm like, why can't my games be like that? And the answer is because me and my players are not professional actors, comedians, and comedy writers.
Right.
Hell. With the ability to edit. So that's also a factor.
Yeah, right.
But this first one I'm watching is called Fantasy High. And the short explanation is what would happen if John Hughes ran a D&D game. The longer explanation is there's this fantasy realm. And in it, there's this one particular town that's a little odd in that it has the fantasy tropes, but it's also kind of set up like 1950s America.
Mm.
And so it has things like cars and stuff that are run by elemental engines and things like that. And there's a soda shop that's run by wind djinn who can freeze things or whatever. And he grants the wishes for ice cream and stuff like this. And it's the story of these people going to an adventuring high school. And it's like all the geeks and nerds and stuff. And then like hijinks ensue. And it's amazing. I love it to death. It is hilarious. And they've got the roles down. We've got the elf. This is primarily a human place. And we've got the elf who was going to a fancy elf school like her older sister. But then she failed one of the exams. And so and her family's very disappointed that she's going to this. And then it's a school about physical adventuring as opposed to theoretical spellcasting, which is what her family does. We've got this ogre who's adopted by gnomes. And he's, like, incredibly sad all the time. He's the biggest sad sack in the world. There's a little goblin who lives with his mom who's a police detective. And he thinks he's a detective. And so he's trying to solve some mysteries. But he's, just, like, at his previous school, he was known as Briefcase Kid. For obvious reasons. Like, seriously, to make friends on the first day of school, he had business cards, and, like, that was a thing. There's a really snotty, uptight guy who is the son of a very wealthy adventurer, aka pirate, and so he's going around and he's hanging out with all these lowly kids. There's a tiefling, like a half demon, half elf thing.
Okay.
That up until last year thought she was an elf, and then she grew horns and found out her dad wasn't her real dad, and her dad also found this out, and so now she's angry and dark and starting a band. With a bass-led band, and like she wears like she's all punkish now and
stuff
like that.
Seems like there needs to be a stoner in this group somewhere. Is that her? Or?
Not really. We don't really have a good one of those. Although Gorgug the Orc kind of works because he's just an idiot. and we have Kristen Applebee's, who is a cleric of Helios, and it's absolutely like. Like, her parents are very concerned that she's going to a school where there will be different types of people. And she's like, no, I want to meet them. I want to go to parties and pour my beer out in the sink and fill it with water so nobody will be uncomfortable around me because they think I'm still drinking. And stuff like that. And it's amazing. I can't even. And she's having a crisis of faith now because some things happen and all this. And it's gorgeous. I love it. I love
it
so much.
It's on Netflix?
No, it's on YouTube.
Oh, sorry, YouTube.
Yes,
okay.
Under Dimension 20. And they have several seasons. This is the first season. It's called Fantasy High. I will warn you, each episode is like an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes
these
even 2 hours.
These types of things are long.
I do love it, though. They really have paced it out. So it's an hour of just sort of role-playing and stuff like that. And then the next episode is just a combat. And they have really elaborate sets for the combat and stuff. So it's very cool to watch. But I love it.
Okay.
It's pretty awesome. So I would recommend that for a lot of people. I just finished Ancillary Justice by Anne Lemke, something like that. Highly recommends. The first in a trilogy. She's been compared a lot to Ursula Le Guin, and I see why. It's some really cool stuff. The main character is a former spaceship.
Oh, yeah, you brought this up before.
And it's also the society where they don't have gender distinction, so everything is listed in female pronouns, which I find amazing because more and more as I've thought about it, most of the characters, I don't actually know what their sex is. Like, unless it's a plot point, it hasn't come up, including the main character. I've been in my head they're in a female body, but I realize I don't have anything to base that on. And that's been kind of fascinating. But it's really good stuff. I'm excited to read the next one. Playing your Conan Exiles game.
So how is that? Because you were having some trouble with it first.
It's weird. I'm surviving fine now.
Yeah.
But mostly all I'm doing now is getting rocks and getting wood and building various things that in theory will help me make cooler stuff.
Yeah.
But right now, everyone I build is like, oh, wait, first I have to build one of these and get this, and then I can make cooler stuff with this.
Yep.
So, like, I got an armorer's workbench. Super exciting. I can't make dick with it right now. And so now I got the 540 stones to make the furnace or whatever. So now I can make iron bars.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do with them at this point. I have like six of them. I have nothing. That's not even enough to fix the one piece of iron equipment I have that I got off of murdering someone. I don't have the room, honestly, to get thralls. I want to get thralls soon, but I don't have the space. I was building a fence around my thing just because I get tired of crocodiles coming. They say build on a hill or whatever. I'm built on an island in the middle of the river. I thought that was a good defensible position. But the crocodiles still show up, and I was like, I'll build a wall. I have them backwards. And here's a fun thing for those playing Conan Exiles. When you build something and, like, place it in the world,
right,
that's where it lives for its entire existence.
Well, unless you break it up.
Yeah, but you don't even get the stuff back for it.
No, not really.
So your options are you can't move it.
No.
You can't put it back in your thing and put it somewhere else.
Nope.
Your only option is to dismantle it, and that's a terrible way to phrase it because you just destroy it and you get nothing out of it.
Basically.
So, like, I spent a long time to build these fences, and I just recently realized a bunch of them are backwards.
And now you just have to tear them all down.
Right! The fuck? Also, my breasts are ridiculous.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yes, and I thought it was, like, better because without it's a little bit. But no, they're still ridiculous. And the problem is now I've put a bunch of hours, and so I'm like, I'm not recreating this character. So I'm just going to have weird-ass boobs for all of the game.
There's no way to change your character?
There is. You lose all of your shit, and you go back. There's a recreate character option.
Oh.
But it resets all of your stuff. Which I'm like, this is cosmetic. This is 100% cosmetic. Just let me do it. But I am getting better at that. I'm really good with daggers, which I don't understand entirely. But daggers are becoming my actual weapon of choice.
Oh, okay.
I'm constantly repairing my axe and my pickaxe because they're constantly wearing down from... Oh, and I'm trying to get a tanner thing going because apparently I need that for a bunch of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though hides are hard. It took me a long time to figure out how you get hides and meat and shit like that, way later than it should have. But, so I'm trying to get that going, but for that you need bark.
Yeah.
And nothing tells you how to get bark. So you look it up online. And the way you get bark, people, the way you get bark, it's simple. It's just like you would expect. Mm-hmm. You cut down trees. But wait, I hear you saying. Cutting down trees is how I got wood and branches and occasionally vines. Yes. To get bark, you have to cut down a tree with a pickaxe. You know. Like how you get bark.
Yeah, that's what you do.
So now if I can get enough bark, I can make a tanning thing. And then if I kill enough more rabbits, because rabbits seem to be the only thing to give me hides. There's the stupid deer, but they're too fast. And I got the bow. I'm shooting the arrows.
Okay.
It's not enough to kill them. And then they run like hell. And it's too fast for me. And if I let them go far enough, by the time I catch up to them, their health is reset. I found that if I'm quick enough and lucky enough, I can kill them with dagger. But those deer are too damn fast. So mostly, crocodiles don't give me no hides. I can't handle killing the shalebacks. They're too cute and sweet. And also, they don't give me no hides either. So it's just those bunnies. And the bunnies show up because they're all just one-hit kills. They usually give me a hide. Just killing bunnies. It's all kind of coming back. So like right now, I'm not even leaving my island. I'm just like, wake up in the morning, destroy all the trees and all the rocks until bedtime. Next day, some of them have grown back.
Until bedtime.
Yeah, I don't like being out in the dark. It's troublesome, but yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess, but I'm still doing it. The problem is I want this game for exploration, but you have to be pretty well off first to do that.
And
so,
yeah, even when you get to high level, there's always a threat that can kill you, so...
There's dungeons and shit. I'm really scared about when I hit that purge meter thing.
Yeah.
I'm terrified about that.
Well, we shut it off after the first one because it was just annoying. It wasn't
You can do that.
Yeah. Okay. It was just annoying. It wasn't threatening or anything. It's just you had to, you know, they could knock down some of your stuff.
Yeah.
So you had to hang out there and kill the minor things that were going to give you trouble. And it felt like a waste of time. It wasn't interesting. So we just shut it off.
All right, draw a thing out of the hat. We're about to be out of time.
Sorry.
But yeah, so that game, monsters. I'm a Stygian. I look pretty cool, except for my ridiculous breasts.
I forget what my wife is. Not that.
And the dark goddess whatever is my religion.
Yeah, her too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It looks cool.
Darketto or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah. How commonplace would self-driving cars need to be before you would use them? It has nothing to do with commonplace for me. I just can't imagine. Why would I get a self-driving car?
So that you don't have to drive.
But for me, not having to drive means not having to go any place at all. If I have to get somewhere... I mean, I suppose most of the time I go somewhere, it's home, right? And it's on the interstate, so I could probably trust a self-driving car, right?
I mean, that's sort of what the question is asking.
And then I'm trying to figure out how I would answer it.
But that's a question of what would it take for you to trust a self-driving car? You were saying, why would I want to not drive?
Well, okay.
To me, those are very different things.
He's asking how commonplace it would have to be. And yeah, for me, it has nothing to do with it. I don't care how commonplace it is. Yeah, I'm either going to want one or I'm not going to want one for my own reasons. I mean, is how commonplace they are mean anything to you?
Yes, very much.
Okay.
But for ancillary reasons.
Because they'll make more affordable or something?
Safe is mostly the thing.
Okay. All the bugs will get worked out.
Yes, exactly. I am a late adopter of all technology.
That's right.
So at the point where the world has decided that self-driving cars can just come down my street, then that tells me something. At the point at which the world has, my friends have been like, I want to give this a try, and I've taken rides in them and stuff like that. That tells me something. But yeah, it's going to be at the point, the commonplace level for me is at the point where multiple acquaintances and friends have them and like them. And a certain amount of time has to pass. That's a big one.
And so you think you will get one eventually if they're,
Well, I think eventually it may be something of a requirement, but that's a way down there.
Requirement?
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you, what do you mean?
Because at a certain point you can start doing gridded traffic and things like that, and having one dude who can drive however the hell they want amongst a bunch of auto-driven cars is problematic.
Yeah, I guess.
At a certain point when the live drivers become enough of a minority, it complicates things too much. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure cars will always have a way to adjust to manual if needed. But I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere down the road, possibly after we're dead, it becomes essentially a standard that, except in certain circumstances, you have to self-drive.
I just don't think I'll ever get one unless it's a situation like you just said where I, for some reason, have to.
No,
I mean, I'm already 50. 20 years from now, I might not even be allowed to drive.
The convenience is a big factor for me. But also, if it gets to that point, and here's the thing. The commonplace thing assumes a certain level of pacing. If tomorrow somebody made a cheap self-driving car and some idiot pushed the law through so that it was fine federally, and suddenly there's a ton of them, no, I'm waiting a while. But assuming that, like it's been doing now, where it's being tested and it's slowly growing and all that, and it bears out eventually that, yes, we've made them safe and functional, or like, I'm probably going to trust a self-driving car better than I trust myself to drive. But also the convenience. Yeah, I don't particularly like driving now.
Well, I don't either. I don't like driving at all. But it doesn't feel like having the car drive itself would make me feel better. I mean, what am I going to do while it's driving?
Well, I think in your case, yours is more short-term things. But, I mean, I'm going to check my phone. I'll call people. I'll listen to stuff.
I can't look at anything else.
I can't read.
There's a lot of things I can't do or I'll get
but
sick.
But I can do other things. I can do phone calls. I could listen to podcasts. I could take a nap.
I mean,
like,
I
especially
do that,
if we're driving to my in-laws, I'll just nap the whole way there. Or at that point, like I said, I can't read. I might be able to do movies. I don't know. It'd be worth a test. But I mean, if nothing else, audiobooks and sleeping, I'm happy there.
But that's the thing.
I'm not thinking about driving to work. I'm thinking about driving to my in-laws.
Well, see, that's what I was saying before, that a lot of times I go home, it's 100 miles, and I'm on the interstate most of the time. So I suppose...
And keep in mind, as these get more commonplace, so do accessories and things for you to do more shit in there.
Yeah.
They're going to start, hey, you're not driving anymore, do this.
Well, the argument is that it'd be safer, that the cars driving themselves and communicating with one another, perhaps, and all this stuff is going to be safer than a person.
And, I mean, time and data will bear that out or not. And that's a huge factor. But that's the thing. Also, if time and data bear out that it's not safer, I don't think they'll get that commonplace.
But, I mean, like, you know, that story that you probably heard about the person who was... letting a Tesla self-drive and it drove right underneath a truck. And the problem there was that the navigation system wasn't programmed to know what a truck looked like.
Yeah.
Broad view.
Yeah.
It just didn't even know that. And that seems like a big piece of data to leave out.
One just ran over somebody recently because it didn't recognize them for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, no, all that shit has to be figured out, and I'm not entirely sure the technology is at a point right now where it could manage that. But there's a lot of assumptions here that when it becomes commonplace enough that a bunch of people in Iowa City have them, They've worked that. Trust me, the cars will not still be able to not recognize a truck from that angle by the time they get here.
To be fair, the person was allowing the car to drive itself in a situation where they were expressly told, don't let the car drive itself in this situation, because the people who designed it knew that it wouldn't be able to handle that. Yeah. In which case, well, anyway, the person still had the option of trying to make it do that. I wouldn't be surprised if the pedestrian was hit in a similar circumstance. Like, look, the car can't handle this, so don't let it self-drive then. And it's too bad they can't make it so that certain that you can only activate self-driving in certain circumstances that the car itself can verify.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I would probably have a lot to say about how they are choosing to test this and figure this shit out. But that's beyond the scope of this.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want anybody. I mean, the closest example I have is we still don't own an Alexa or a Google Home or something like that. We have been at other people's houses. I see the convenience. It does appeal to me. It's still too early. Mm. I'm like, they're finding weird shit all the time with them already. I'm like, I want to wait until we figure that out a little more. And I realize I also have bought in a little bit because there is some hypocrisy that the device sitting in my pocket here essentially does the same thing. And including the whole bit where it's listening all the time stuff. Because if I say the magic words, it does stuff. So there's a little bit of that. But just overall, I'm waiting to see what happens. And I do that with everything. I did that with cell phones. I did that with smartphones. I did that with...
Are you more cautious with technology than with other things? Because you seem more adventurous with other things. Is there something about technology that makes you cautious where you're not cautious with other things? Or do you think you're cautious with everything and I just don't notice that?
I don't know. It's not something I've analyzed. Technology, in a lot of cases, it's the level of risk. I feel the risk with having a home smart hub or whatever and the risk of a self-driving car is pretty big. Mm-hmm. With stuff like a smartphone or if somebody had just bought me a cell phone and was paying for it, I would totally have gone for it.
Oh, okay.
Because there's no risk to me. I mostly was just like, I don't want to spend the money now when they're still working out the kinks. Mm-hmm. And perhaps not coincidentally, often as it goes along, it's cheaper later.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, or more affordable or whatever. Right. And I mean, and like the big stuff, like the LASIK surgery, that was a huge one. I was like, this is awesome. I want this. But not until they've done it for a while so it's affordable and won't cut the top of my head off or whatever. And then I forgot about it because I'm like, that's going to take a while. And it did. But not a few years ago, I was like, I think it's there now. I think it's pretty cheap and it's got pretty good success rate. I could go do it. And that was when I really thought about it. And I was like, I actually think I look better in glasses. I want to keep wearing glasses. Because I was like, yeah, no, I could do it now. I don't like the look of my face without glasses as much. So, Yeah, so I hope that answered your question, Craig. If you want to practice with the self-driving cars over there on your island, that's great. Then you guys work it out. Of course, you got the steering on the wrong side. Might not matter with a driverless car.
Yeah, maybe it won't.
But you're still driving on the wrong side of the road. Anyway, if you'd like to tell us about your time your driverless car killed somebody, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also, tell us about your own Oak Island experiences.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.